my take at thetakeaway.org.
There are big numbers in President Obama's budget, but there are also big ideas. It's an almost $4 trillion plan that includes major spending and major deficits as the government tries to help end the severe recession. But if you look deeper into the budget, among the more creative ways the White House plans to pay for its spending is a carbon emissions cap that the president says will produce $150 billion beginning in 2012. The money, according to the plan, would finance renewable energy projects and pay for middle-class tax credits. But in fact, the more radical idea buried in the budget is just how pervasive this emissions cap is envisioned to be. John Broder is a reporter for our partner, the New York Times. He joins us now. John, as you look at this emissions cap and the so-called cap and trade that's been discussed, environmental policy for years now, this is something on a much bigger scale than we've seen before. Describe how it would scale up.
Well, it begins at what many environmental groups and even scientific organizations think is the lower end of what needs to be done right away. President Obama proposes a 14% reduction in carbon and other greenhouse gas emissions from 2005 levels by 2020. That's a fairly flat curve upwards. But then it becomes progressively more steep, reaching 83% below 2005 levels by 2050. Now, that's a long way out in the future, but those are also fairly significant reductions along the lines of what of scientific organizations, including the UN, believe is necessary to moderate the warming of the planet. And because it becomes so steep, it generates a lot of money in revenues.
Well, what part of this is going to be just, you know, some kind of magical market process, and how much of this would have to be enforced, particularly at the beginning, to make sure there are enough participants to actually get those kinds of funds?
Well, the first step, and it's already begun, and there's also an additional $19 million in the budget. Now, $19 million doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a fairly new program at the Environmental Protection Agency to begin a nationwide monitoring of carbon dioxide sources. There are already such monitors in place at most power plants, but every large factory and refinery and smelting company in the country is going to have a monitor that measures that installation's output of carbon dioxide, because you can't begin to regulate and tax carbon unless you know where it's coming from.
And would this be scalable down to, say, each individual building in a city like New York, or each individual residence in a suburb like Westchester County?
Well, there are some critics who think that that will be, in fact, necessary. I don't think it's practical or practicable, and there will probably be moderate-sized sources of carbon dioxide that may escape regulation, at least at first. But this scheme is intended to be economy-wide.
And if there is this vast sort of nationwide monitoring of carbon, then how would the government begin to get money from the emissions cap? And describe the cap-and-trade process and how and who would participate in it.
Well, it's both simple and devilishly complex. The idea is that anybody or any facility that emits carbon dioxide would have to buy a permit to do so. As long as you're within the cap that has been decreed for your permit, your industry, your sector of the economy, those caps produce a fairly reasonably priced emissions permit. But if you exceed it in 1 year, you're going to have to either go to the government or to another potential source of emissions and buy a permit. This is the same kind of scheme that we use to control sulfur dioxide and nitrous oxide emissions, the so-called acid rain program that was initiated in 1990. And while critics said that that was going to be horrendously expensive and not capture the emissions, it in fact worked better than anticipated.
But could you envision a time when everyone in their car has, like, just like a catalytic converter, a carbon tester, and that every time you go in to get your registration, an inspector can basically determine how much carbon you've put into the environment and basically write you an invoice?
Well, I don't think it has to be that complex, because there's a fairly direct line between the fuel you put in your car and the emissions that come out the tailpipe. everyone knows, not everyone, but every scientist knows and every state regulatory agency in the EPA knows roughly the carbon content of a gallon of gasoline. So you're not really, you don't really have to measure emissions. What,
right.
what you measure is mileage per gallon.
So finally, $150 billion, is that practical? And in the political world that we live in, is there any chance that this plan can get through the Congress intact?
Well, first of all, remember the $150 billion is over 10 years. That's $15 billion a year of what are anticipated to be $80 to $100 billion in revenues from this carbon trading regime. And remember, that's on the lower end of the earlier estimates, which even the president's budget director, when he was the congressional budget director, thought could generate as much as $200 or $300 billion in revenue a year.
So that's a bit of a
political question. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, that's really a bit of a drop of the bucket. I mean, maybe the political question is right there. It's an incremental implementation of what is going to look like in 10 years, a really big idea, possibly the only way to go. We'll leave it there. John Broder, thanks so much. John Broder is a New York Times reporter reporting from Washington on the cap and trade emissions cap idea for getting $150 billion over 10 years in the Obama budget. Femi Okeh has the headlines.
I do, at 29 minutes past the hour.